While we're in this mode of silence, this awkward silence, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. We've come here to gather to worship you. Lord, the reason I want to just pray right at this moment is because my head is just filled with all kinds of thoughts and ideas of, oh, I should say this, I should say that. Lord, quiet my spirit and my mind that I might speak your words. Quiet our hearts that we might allow your spirit to search us. Lord, as always, I pray that the words that come from you fall on deaf ears and fall to the floor, but the words that come from you would pierce and penetrate our hearts and minds. Lord, as we continue to explore this idea that we know you, but do we really know you in that deep, meaningful relationship? How we can go about our lives, living good moral lives, how we can be so close and yet so far away. And so, Lord, just guide this time together. May you be honored and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. So last week we talked about life, in a sense, and I kind of shared with you guys how I felt like I have been going through death by a thousand cuts. And it's still continuing, actually. This past week I thought, okay, I got it out, I confessed everything, and man, we're going to have a great week, and I've got people who are going to pray for the huddle when I go and talk to the team. And Wednesday I went home not feeling the best. I thought I'll take a little nap, power nap, and then I'll get up and go to practice. And I woke up with the fever being worse and the coughing and the headache. All right, well, then I just won't go to practice. I'll sleep. Thursday will be great. I mean, I've got people praying. This is going to be amazing. And I wake up Thursday and feel even worse. It's like, Lord, what are you doing here? Right? Because we're always wanting in some way to wrestle that back to somehow that we are in control of these things. And really, it comes down to just surrendering. And what does this look like? Death by a thousand cuts, to me, points out the need to constantly be trimmed, pruned, to work from the past 35 years for me is going away from that works mentality. And what does it really mean to be in that relationship with Jesus Christ and receiving that grace and mercy that truly transforms our lives? When we talked about the I Am and we came across this verse, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, when I looked at the things that were happening, I'm like, that feels like it's killing me and destroying me. And here we have Jesus promises that his purpose is to give us a rich and satisfying life. What does that look like? Being lived out in this faith. So ultimately it came to, this is the question that we addressed last week. Is it possible to spend years learning about Jesus without truly surrendering our lives to him? And the answer is yes. We can, and we see it happening. We ended with this quote. The grace you experienced yesterday cannot sustain today's needs. Transforming grace flows from a daily relationship with Jesus. Now, I just want to also be clear. If you have the YouVersion app and you go to the events in Mercersburg Mennonite Church, you will see my PowerPoints up there. This is a daily surrender, daily taking up a cross, following Christ, daily receiving that grace that continues to transform our lives, daily living it out. But there's also an aspect that we can have this faith and be living out and surrendering to Jesus. But this morning, I want to talk about faith. What does that faith look like? And how does it become a deep, rich faith being lived out? And that is where I found this question I wrestled with. Does my soul find satisfaction in Jesus? That's the question I wrestled with that led to last week's message. Does my soul find satisfaction in Jesus? It came from because as I was working through New Believers class, and I've been teaching this now out of this book, Follow Me, for 10 years. But for some reason, as I was taking Brock through and I was preparing, and I was preparing for session 3, and it's entitled Delight in God, David Platt says this: what if God intended for you not only to know him, What if God intended for you to enjoy him? And that set me thinking and wrestling. Do I truly enjoy the relationship I have with Jesus Christ? Or is it more that we move and do out of because it's responsibility, out of duty? Or do we move out of because of the love and the deep relationship? Dave Platt says also in this, our satisfaction is not found in gifts, but in the giver of gifts, Jesus. And that led me to the thought, like, how do we search? How do we look at this relationship? Because see, when Jesus said, follow me, he didn't say, hey, here I am. Now, if you go over here, you'll find the truth. If you do this, this is how it will work out. If you continue in these certain rituals. No, he said, follow me. Come into a relationship with me. Find that I will take your load and you will find rest and peace in me. In that, I will tell you, we've talked about this before. Everybody, when we talk about faith and life, every soul longs for something. We talked about if you have straight hair, you want curly hair. If you have curly hair, you want straight hair. Right? Or you want hair. If you're tall, you want to be short. If you're short, you want to be tall. Did you ever notice that we really are never satisfied with what we have? There's something that we want beyond us. And that is the question. Where do we find that? Where do we find that? Why are we crazy? Nope, battery's good. We're good. I'm not going to let that keep bothering us here if I can't help it. I find that this is a great psalm to look to take as we journey through this faith. Turn with me to Psalms 63. Talk about death by a thousand cuts. This psalm is written by David. And as we're turning to it, I want you to picture this. David's in the wilderness. Now how, you could say, oh, okay, well, we see that he wrote a lot of psalms in the wilderness. No, no, no. Do you know how he got to the wilderness this time when he's writing this psalm? He was king. He was king. He enjoyed the life of a king. And then his son, Absalom, led a rebellion. And David had to leave. When David left, do you know how he was greeted as he was leaving? People weren't necessarily saying, David, where are you going? We need you. No, he was greeted with somebody who followed him, throwing stones and dirt, cursing at him. It was such to the point that David's two generals on either side said, let us just kill him and be done. And David's like, no, if this is of God, let it be. We'll let God decide. It says at the end of that, when they finally got into the wilderness, they were all exhausted. So when David's writing this psalm, you can imagine that was his journey, and now he is sitting in the wilderness because his son is throwing a party because he's now claimed to be king. And this is what David writes. Psalm 63. Oh God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you. In this parched and weary land where there is no water, I have seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me beyond the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night, because you are my helper. I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely. But those plotting to destroy me will come to a ruin. They will go down into the depths of the earth. They will die by the sword and become the food of jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear to tell the truth will praise him, while liars will be silenced. Here he is in uncertainty, danger, discomfort, and loss. And David says, "Oh God, you are my God. I earnestly seek you. I search you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you. In this parched and weary land where there is no water." His first words weren't, "Can you change my circumstances?" His first words weren't, "Defeat my enemies." His first words weren't, "Restore my comfort. Return what I have lost." His first words, as he was thirsty, is that he's reminded of his thirst for God and that only God can satisfy. So I ask you, do you desire God? Do you desire primarily and hope what he will do for you? Or do you desire God for who he is? When your soul is empty, where do you turn to? You see, the children of Israel, when they felt empty and they just didn't know about God, and they worshiped him and they heard all the right things, but somewhere along the line, we see that they've started going away. And Jeremiah prophesied this. "For my people have done two evil things. They have abandoned me, the fountain of living water, and they have dug for themselves cracked cisterns that can hold no water at all." We have two polar opposites. David's in this dilemma, and what does he say? "You're my water. You're my living water." And the Israelites are like, "You know what? This God thing, we're going to keep that, but we're going to do our own thing." And so they really rejected him, because you cannot have both. Either you're fully for God or you're trying to live a moral life. So the first thing is they turned away from God, the source of life. And then they started trying to do things themselves that would bring them life, to bring their identity, to bring them joy. They looked to other things than from God. C.S. Lewis puts it this way: "We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the slum because he can't imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We far too easily are pleased. Too many times we look to what we can control, because when things are already out of control, we are left, as we talked last week, with either trusting in Jesus and allowing him to satisfy our soul, or we're going to try to control it ourselves. And we're going to start this cycle, because what it is, even when it's good things, may we throw ourselves into work, we're doing it on our own accord. And then when we realize when we're done, it's still there, and we still need to seek God. Or maybe we throw ourselves into the internet, social media, food, money, purchasing, whatever your thing is. But you realize it's really a death by a thousand cuts, because that's not where satisfaction comes, and your soul is still longing. We're far too easily pleased. You know, we have a story that really kind of addresses this, the woman at the well. As Jesus sat there, I mean, do you realize the barriers he broke there? Culturally and actually morally, he should not be talking to this woman, not a rabbi. The religious barriers, and here this broken woman is, and Jesus says to her, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water." You see, this woman had been married 5 times, and the man she was with was not her husband. I think we can kind of guess what she's trying to do to find satisfaction for her soul. And this woman then said, yes, please give me that living water. And he took that shame of hers, and she became a bold witness for him. Because she went out into the neighbors and said, come and see. Brothers and sisters, that's what he wants to do, and that's how we find satisfaction for our souls. When we can start realizing the shame is gone, because our satisfaction is in Jesus Christ. And we become bold and say, come and see. When your soul is empty, where do you instinctively turn to? Well, the scripture points, our satisfaction is found in Jesus himself. If you go back to the scripture that we just read in Psalms, we have David professing, your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. Can you imagine those words? Like, we can say those words, but to live that, to actually say, Jesus, your unfailing love is more than life itself. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting my hands up in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feasts, and I praise you with the songs of joy. And David knows what the richest feasts are like. And yet here he is in the wilderness, and he's not saying, oh, I long for those. No, I long for you. You know, I was thinking about this when I thought about the unfailing love. And we go through difficult times. And I don't know if you guys remember, but when we had that one family, and I was doing the second funeral for them, and I remember just crying out to God, and I said, this is just not fair. I just had a Psalms 13 prayer with him. I'm like, this is not fair. And I remember, laid on my heart from the Lord, Scripture is not, never promised fair. What Scripture promises is my unfailing love and faithfulness. You know, I remember as a kid, I used to say, this isn't fair to my parents. And it's funny to be on the other side and have my kids go, this isn't fair, and think, do you really want fair? That's calling for justice. And do you know what justice is? It brings an end to it. I'd rather look to his unfailing love than to cry for fairness. I'd rather praise him and lift up hands in prayer. Remember, the power of praise scientifically shows it rewires our brains. It changes our perspective and breaks negative cycles. You see, we can get caught up in the anxiety of this and say, but what if? David could be right now saying, but what if I never make it back to my throne? He says, faith, even if. He's saying, even if I don't make it back to my throne, even if you are what I long for. Philippians 4:6, we quote it, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Do we? We say it. I notice this is what I hear a lot of people will say. I'm not worried, just concerned, because what if it falls apart? I'm not worried, I'm just concerned. What if we fail? I'm not concerned, but what if we do proceed with the building project and it doesn't work out? Oh, what if it splits the church? I'm not worried. But what if? What if things don't get better? Finding satisfaction, your soul finding satisfaction, Jesus says, even if. Even if. And that's where we'll find our faith deepening. When we can honestly say, even if, I will trust Jesus. So in this Psalm 63, we have every soul longs for something, and the satisfaction is in Jesus alone. And then I love the satisfied soul clings to Jesus. Clings to Jesus. I like how David writes it in his psalm. I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely. Notice the two sides of this relationship. David's clinging to God, but God's right hand is what's holding him. You see, too many times we think, well, it depends on me clinging. I want to be clear. It does not depend on you how tight you're clinging. What it depends on is that God's righteous right hand holds us. And that is faith. Do you cling to Jesus, even if knowing that he holds you with his right hand? Where does your soul find satisfaction? I have some questions as we reflect on how Psalm 63 plays out. First one, when life falls apart, where do I run first? When it's falling apart, where's the first place? Because that silence in that video, to be still and know that I'm God to get there. No. We've got to do something. I remember one time we were talking as an elder team. And we were talking about what we need to do. And I said, I think we should just pray about this. And somebody looked at me and said, so we're flying by the seat of our pants. Because, see, we got to do something. Can we just confess that we just feel like we have to do something? When maybe the best thing would be is to just sit quiet and seek his face. When it falls apart, where do you run first? When I succeed, who receives the glory? Now, I think this could be a temptation for church leadership, but I actually, as I was praying about it between these services in Sunday school, it dawned on me, even businessmen, construction workers, when things go well, yeah, look what I did. Look what I succeeded at. And yet all through the Old Testament, it talks about Moses and the prophets. Remember, it is God who's given you the gifts. It is God who's given you that capability. The things that you have achieved is because of God. So, when you succeed, who receives the glory? When you feel empty, what do you use to distract yourself? When you feel empty, what do you use to distract yourself? When you feel God is distant, do you seek his face or do you simply continue your routine? Do I want Jesus merely for the life I hope Jesus will give me? You know, we just celebrate 9/11's. Celebrate, maybe remember would be a better word. 9/11, 25th anniversary. And I can remember 9/11, and this side of the church was full on that evening as we prayed. And I can remember that Sunday, this church was full, as all churches in our nation. And the following Sunday, it was starting to get back to normal. Why? Too many times we seek Jesus for the life we hope he will give us. Instead of the life that we receive through that personal relationship with him. I know Jesus, but do I know Jesus? Last week we talked about how we can search scriptures and go about living this Christian life and totally miss the Savior. This morning I challenge you to not just see Jesus, but to actually experience him in a deep, meaningful relationship. In other words, as we live this life in our faith, the greatest tragedy would be to spend our lives among the things of Jesus, hearing sermons, studying scripture, and serving in his name, and yet miss Jesus himself, the true treasure and the deep satisfaction for which our souls have always longed for. Because our souls long for something greater than us. Don't let the world deceive you and miss it. It's more than just simply living the Christian life. It's being a follower of Jesus and being in that personal, deep relationship with him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we bring this part of our service to a conclusion and we now move to lifting John and Jeanette up and the family as they are heading to Cambodia, Lord, we just thank you. First, we thank you for your son, Jesus. But Lord, we see throughout Scripture how even in the book of Judges, they kept doing what was right in their own eyes. And by doing that, they missed the mark every time. They did not have that relationship with you. Lord, I pray that our desire would be not to do what is right in our own eyes, but to continually seek the meaningful, deep relationship that comes by totally surrendering ourselves to you. Not just actually find ourselves surrender to you and allowing your Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Lord, as we lift up John and Jeanette to you, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to walk with them. Lord, I pray if there's anyone within the sound of my voice, though, that the Holy Spirit is stirring their hearts because they know that their soul has not found that satisfaction. They know they have not said yes to Jesus. They've been trying to live this life on their own, that they would say yes today. Come talk to me or someone and give us the opportunity to walk with them in the newness of life. But Lord, I just pray for also each one within the sound of my voice, for we each know how quickly we can slide into trying to find the meaning and joy of our lives through something else than Jesus. May we surrender that, confess that, and find that our souls can only find satisfaction in your son, Jesus. In his name I pray, amen. At this time, I'm going to ask John to kind of come forward, and as the home congregation, I consider it an honor and a privilege that we get to walk with them, and so we're going to have like a commissioning prayer, but I wanted to give John an opportunity to talk here a little bit.
All right. For all those that don't know me, I'm John Puckett. We are serving in Cambodia, and we're about to leave in a couple days on Tuesday. We'll take off. And I just wanted to say how much I love and appreciate you all. This is my home. This is my home church. This is my family here. All of you I consider brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers, and in Christ's family. And I'm really appreciative. When thinking about today and what I was going to say, I really laid on my heart that it's great to have a community where I'm excited to go home to. I mean, we are really happy and we're loving where God placed us in Cambodia. And I'm so glad that when we come home, it's never like, oh, we got to go back to America and we're going to have this to do and we're going to have that to do. And no, it's actually always a joy to come back here and be like, oh, we're going to be able to meet and hang out with our friends and our family. And yeah, get to spend time with people that we really treasure. And it's also a great privilege that when we go to leave, it's never like, oh, thank God that's over. We're going back to Cambodia. It's actually kind of hard to say. It is hard to say goodbye and say how much we'll miss you over the next couple of years. I mean, if we weren't able to meet up this time, I do apologize, and hopefully next time we'll get to spend some time together. And I do want to say, like, as an example of what I really love about the community, yesterday, on the very last minute, Jeanette offered, like, a open house, and if you weren't able to make it, that's totally all right. But one of the things was, it was so last minute, and Jeanette didn't have time to put food together or anything like that. But, like, on their own initiative, like, Liz Streit brought food. Like, and then also, like, Linda Hurst brought food, and it just, like, just for us to give out to people that came and visited us. And it was, like, such an awesome expression of their love for us and their care for us and their desire to just be a blessing, not only to us, but to the people that came and visited us. And so I feel like there's so many people in this church that do things like that. And I just want to encourage you to just continue to looking out beyond yourself. Another one. Like, that was a surprise, was Nancy Coons, who's recovering from an injury. She went and had made a casserole for us so that while we were packing and getting things ready, we'd have a meal. And it's just awesome expressions like that that I really appreciate about this community here. And so, yeah, like I said, I want to encourage you to continue to look out beyond yourselves. Love your neighbor. And think beyond your own group. I'm going to miss you all. I'll look forward to 2 years from now when we can get back together and visit. If we only got together, you know, once every 2 years, it never feels like quite enough, but that's how things go. Cambodia is always open, so come and visit us. And yeah. I just want to say, God bless you. God bless your relationships. God bless your heart. Soften it. And may you look for friends and look for the community to be a blessing to. Thank you.
At this time, I would ask the elder team to come forward and John's family. And what we want to do is lay hands on John and Jeanette and the family. And as we saw in Acts, when Paul and Barnabas were called apart to go to the mission field. And so we're going to ask them to come forward. And just as a word, as John said, we're welcome to come visit him. That is a goal of Glenda and I's, to go visit John and Jeanette in Cambodia. Glenda has gotten over her fear of snakes.
We told her we're going to give her a snake charm.
I just want to tell her that, as you guys know how my wife feels about snakes. And every time the video came up, she kept saying, there's snakes there, there's snakes there. And then John kept saying, really, we don't see many snakes, except for the one time I was talking to my brother. And while I was on the phone, a snake fell out of the ceiling and landed on me. And we were on a video call, and Glenda looked at me and goes, we're not going. Kid you not. And I mean, like, she was pretty much cemented. And then after visiting with John and Jeanette, and as we walked with them as they were getting ready to leave, she goes, we need to plan to go. So be praying about that. With that, we're going to be laying hands. I'm asking you guys to join us by standing as we pray for them. Ethan, can you start us off? And then anybody that feels led to pray, and then I will close. So let's just kind of gather in. If you guys want to kind of step forward so we can kind of get in behind you guys. There we go.
Lord, I just thank you for the Puckett family, for John and Jeanette, Evie, Alice, Laszlo, Tirza, and Maria. I just thank you for the opportunity to be able to be with them over these last couple months. Lord, I pray that this was truly a time of rejuvenation to their souls, an opportunity to reconnect with family, friends, so many that love and cherish them. I thank you for this time that we've had. Lord, I also pray as we send them back, Lord, I pray for you to go ahead, as we know you will. Mm-hmm. Lord, I pray for protection over this family, physically and spiritually, Lord. As we understand that battles are being fought that we can't even see, Lord, just pray for your presence, your peace, your joy, your protection to surround them. Lord, I pray that you will open the hearts, soften the hearts of those that they are serving, that you will bring the right people into their lives to both lift them up and people that they can bring closer to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the example that they have set before each one of us, to give up life of comfort, to go forth and just look to live a life sought after for you, Lord Jesus, and to make you known to others. Lord, I pray that we will follow that example and that each one of us, whether we're here, whether we travel, Lord, wherever we may be, may we look to know you more. Yes. and to make you known. Lord, again, I just thank you for this family and pray that they will continue to feel your love surround them as they travel back to home in Cambodia. In Jesus' name.
Father God, we just thank you for the Puckett family and just for some time to just share with them as they're back here, Lord. But, Lord, more than anything else, we just pray that hearts be opened in the path of where they're going, Lord, in Cambodia. And just even along the way, Lord, that you would just open those hearts and give them opportunity to just continue to share your love, yes. Father, and your grace and your forgiveness. And, Lord, give them the words that they need to have. Lord, I also just pray that you continue to expand their ministry. I thank you for just all the different ways that that's happening through their children and just through the community and everyone else over there. I pray that you continue to create those connections that are deep and meaningful, not just here and now, but for the kingdom, Lord. We pray that you would expand your kingdom there through them. Just continue to give them wisdom and clarity as they look for guidance from you, Lord. And we just pray that you continue to help us as a sending church just to keep them on the forefront, just to keep them lifted up in prayer and just to continue to battle on that front here. In Jesus' name.
Lord, we celebrate the beauty of being a church body and recognizing the different gifts and callings that you've put in each of our lives. And right now, as a congregation, we stand with the Puckett family and just affirm the calling you have put on them to serve in Cambodia. I thank you for the gifts that you have given each one, for the calling that they have. And Lord, we recognize that it's not just a calling for John and for Jeanette, but it's also ministries for their children. And so we pray your blessing and wisdom for John in the specific leadership that you're calling him to. Mm-hmm. We pray for Jeanette and the calling that she has as a mom and her family, but also in the leadership that they're headed into as well. Lord, we pray for Evie and for Alice and for Tirza and for Laz and for Maria, recognizing that in their own spaces, they have a calling. And Lord, I pray that you would just affirm the giftings that you have given them. Lord, that you would help them to understand that you have empowered them for the work that you've called them to do. And Lord, I pray that you would just reveal, even the Lord, to the littles, reveal your hand at work in their life, that they can see and know and experience the power of your Holy Spirit, opening doors, fighting the spiritual battles, going before them, making the way. And Lord, that you would bless the fruits of their labor, that as they sow seeds of love and kindness and truth, Lord, that they would see those seeds grow into a harvest. Lord, may they not feel like they're there just spinning their wheels. May they know that they are there to accomplish a mission that you have set in motion and that you will be faithful to see through. We thank you, Lord, and we just praise you in advance for what you are doing because we send them in faith knowing that this is what you have called them to and that you will do, you will accomplish your purpose for their lives. And we just thank you, Lord, for that. We do ask for your hedge of protection around them. We do pray that you would bind Satan in the name of Jesus for any attempts to prevent or to harm or to stand in the way of the good work that you've called them to. May your spirit lead and open the doors ahead of them. And we thank you, Jesus, for this. In Jesus' name.
And so, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity that we have to walk with John and Jeanette and family. We thank you that when they're here, they feel at home, and when they're in Cambodia, they feel at home, that you have brought them to that comfort and peace. And so, Lord, now we send them in the name of Jesus. We continue to ask that you fill them with your Holy Spirit to guide them. And Lord, we pray for a hedge of protection, for your hand of protection to be upon them, for they are covered in the blood of Jesus. And it's Jesus that they are taking to these people, the beautiful good news of Jesus Christ, and that eternal life is through him, and that you loved us so much that we see it through the cross and the empty tomb. Now we pray a blessing upon this family as they go to share this great message. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity for us as a congregation to walk with them. May we continue to lift them up in prayer, continue to support them, And Lord, we thank you and look forward to the day when we get to see each other again and talk about how wonderful and how you continue to move and celebrate you. May you be honored and glorified through all of this. In Jesus' name, amen. So, brothers and sisters, as we bring this service to conclusion, whether the mic is cracking or whatever's going on, let us be able to proclaim that our souls find satisfaction in Jesus Christ, even if we serve the risen Savior who loves us. Thank you for your time and attention. Go in the love and peace of Jesus Christ. You are dismissed.